This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. It's my delight to be able to invite a special guest, who has become a very good friend. Her name is Mary Hager. Mary, I met Mary at an evangelization school that Renewal Ministries put on maybe 7 years ago now. Time has flown, and I asked Mary to come and tell her amazing story of what the Lord has done in her parish with the parishioners and the ministry that's grown out of the evangelistic efforts that she and Deacon Michael Tennis have worked on together over the past number of years. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you so much, Peter. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
But what I'd like you to do, Mary, is share with us your story, a little bit of background about who you are, and then go from there.
Well, I am a lifelong Catholic, born and raised Catholic. My parents were Catholic, my grandparents back through history. I married a Catholic, have wonderful children and grandchildren. So I gave a long period of my life to the Catholic Church, and at time that I worked for the church, I just kept searching for meaning. I just couldn't seem to find meaning in my Catholic activity. I worked so hard, and I was absolutely sure that I was getting enough punches in my ticket to heaven that God would indeed accept me. However, in
like you were doing enough of the right things. You're sort of keeping track and checking off the list, and this is what it means to be good tonight, that kind of a thing?
If I did enough stuff,
okay,
I would be accepted by God in heaven. But I had in the back of my thinking that there was some cosmic number of punches that would achieve my salvation, and I simply didn't know how many those were. Mm. So I'm in a constant search for meaning in the church. And actually, I just couldn't find any fulfillment. I couldn't find any of those answers to the meaning of life. I was in a deep internal struggle, I think. And so, continuing on with Catholic activity, I decided that all the answers must be in human success. So being the oldest of eight type A personalities, I started on a mission to achieve worldly success, and perhaps by completing the most degrees possible. Finally, after 7 years of education, I was finishing my PhD, and I just came to the end of myself. I came to this place where there's no meaning in my spiritual activity, there's no meaning in human success, and I simply was done. On a beautiful evening out in Nebraska, I went and sat in a lawn chair, and I looked up at the sky at about 2 a.m, and I really said out loud, you know what, God, if you're real, you just have to show me, because I can't believe it any longer. I meant that. I can't believe it any longer. I thought I would perhaps the next day go be a Buddhist. I don't look good in orange, but indeed, I was studying religions of the world to find some meaning in life. And of course, the Lord knew the day that I would say that prayer. He knew it to the minute. So this is 2 a.m. At 8 o'clock in the morning that same day, I went to the mailbox and I found a letter from a classmate of mine whom I had not seen for 15 years. Her name is Rita. And she had been looking for me for 6 months, found my parents, found my address, sent the letter. So I opened the letter. And there at the beginning, it said, "Hello, Mary, we haven't seen each other for a long time. The Lord asked me to write this letter to you and to tell you, yes, indeed, he is real. And he's been looking and waiting for you for a very long time."
Wow.
So as you can imagine, I spent the whole next week crying my eyes out. But the point was that God is real, but I had no idea what to do with that information. Okay, what do I do now? God is real.
Yeah. Now, when you heard that from her, when she said that to you, what do you most remember about your own experience after she said that to you? What you felt like, what you were thinking?
I remember the room I was standing in. I remember what it all looked like, smelled like. And for that second, the world just stopped moving. I just stood stunned and dissolved into tears, fell on the floor and dissolved into tears and just cried and cried.
Yeah. It's like, could it be real that he's, and all of a sudden there's conviction that came on you that it was real.
Absolutely true that. Yeah. You know, I had just asked him to show me, and just a few short hours later.
From an old friend from 15 years
from
ago.
From an old friend, yes.
Isn't
indeed.
Isn't that something?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. She probably had been thinking about you at times and praying about you, and something gets prompted in her heart to say, I've got to find Mary. And isn't something the timing?
And
she's
that
looking
day.
For 6 months, and it was just that particular day. That's really very exciting. Well, there's more to the story. Go ahead.
Well, you know, an activity-based Catholic seems to have to be hit in the head with a 2x4. So some unusual things happened to me after that. I had no idea of a love relationship with God. You know, I was just accumulating punches. So shortly after that, I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, and only in the Holy Spirit could I really recognize the Lord. I was somewhat of an athlete back then and very involved in tennis. So 2 weeks later, I went to a tennis tournament at a gymnasium, and there were two school gymnasiums across the road from each other. I accidentally went to the wrong gymnasium, in which there was a full-blown healing and Holy Spirit event with Father Ralph DeOrio was in full progress.
Wow.
And I walked in the door, and luckily somebody put a chair underneath me, and of course nothing has been the same since that day.
What happened that night for you when you were there?
You know, what I remember of it was I was so overwhelmed with a presence of which I had no knowledge. That I felt, the truth is, I felt I was floating above my chair. And there was this, all the singing and all the praying and all the praise, but the presence came down in a way I had never in my life remotely experienced and had no idea that it was God the Holy Spirit.
And so where did you go from there?
Well, again, I went home and cried for many days. But then I went on a mission in the church. I worked for the church for 33 years now to try to provide to other people the experience that I had just gone through. Mm-hmm. I looked for programs and all kinds of things the church had to offer to provide an environment to bring people to the relationship and just the total radical life change that I had experienced. So I think over those years, I used everything the church had to offer, including go and make disciples, disciples in mission, our hearts are burning within us, renew and renew 2000 and many others. I was a Catholic school teacher for 12 years, a youth minister for 7, a DRE for 15. I worked at the chancery and the evangelization core team and got a degree in theology. Every single thing that I offered to people, their response was very much the same. This is so nice. Well, the people who came were the choir. You know the choir. It's Catholics who come to everything. God bless them. They showed up because I would have been sitting in a room by myself had it not been for the choir. And they all had brownies and juice and said, "This is so wonderful." And they all, though, went home, and I knew that nothing in their life was really different. I was back to Catholic activity, was doing an excellent job catechizing, but nobody was converted.
You did this in one parish or a number of parishes at the time?
It started out in a single parish, and then as the story goes on further, as we were having success, other churches noticed and said, come on down.
So you saw, you were in this place of, you knew the experience that you yourself had, and that in some ways, even though everyone's experience is a little bit different, there's more that everyone can have to receive the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I was thinking as you were talking, well, John Paul II's line here is that the Catholic exists with the conviction that Jesus Christ is alive, that he's acting in the present, and he's changing lives, and he's changing lives now. And that's your experience and the passion. You wanted to be able to communicate that, but somehow that connection wasn't happening. So what happened to make that change?
Well, as we got in front of groups and would tell everybody where our mission is to make disciples and let's fulfill the Great Commission, we had probably universally the same response. I would say 99% of our attendees would be very polite, but say to us, we have really no idea what you're talking about. 1% would say, well, that sounds great, we have no idea how. And one person went to the pastor and accused us of teaching heresy. So I was really very disheartened, actually, after many, many years of working and working, and I wasn't seeing any results.
Like there's a whole, I think I've spoken with many people who've worked with the church over the years in certain ways. There's a lot of great material there that's there to teach. You know, a lot of theoretical stuff about discipleship, about evangelization, about growing in the Lord. And there's this battle of saying, okay, here's the material or here's the information. How does this information go from people's head to their heart? And we can't really make that happen just by teaching. There's something more that needs to go on. But go ahead and continue your story.
Well, it just seems as though we had the cart before the horse. We were gaining information before our hearts were softened toward the Lord. And it's like pouring water on a rock. Nothing sticks. When your heart is softened because you have a person you are so in love with, then you become the softened sponge and all the information starts to take hold.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, I was quite disheartened indeed and had my usual crying fit before the Lord and went, you know what, I don't want to die with a saved soul and a wasted life. You've got to get me into the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I started to read, pay attention to, go to events with the word evangelization in them. And I would wander into these Catholic events that had that word in there, and I would look around to see who was there. I thought I was accidentally in some Protestant event. It was so foreign to me. But the new vocabulary that I was hearing was universal. It all was new. New Pentecost, new springtime, new evangelization. And I thought, what is all this newness? And again, I need a 2x4, but someone, an anonymous person, sent me a scripture in the mail from Isaiah 43:19. And it's the, behold, I am doing something new. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness. Mm. And I just latched onto that and just went to everything I could possibly attend. Over that amount of time, then I had met Deacon Mike Tennis. We came to the same church at the same time in 2001.
So you began to get plugged into a lot of the Pope John Paul II stuff at the time, the new evangelization, new Pentecost that was in his vision and the documents and things that he was producing at the time. Yeah. Well, Mary, can you join us tomorrow again?
It would be more than my pleasure to do so.
There's really so much more to the story, and I'm really thrilled you're going to be able to share that with our listeners. And those of you who heard the program today, I want to encourage you to tune back in tomorrow and ask your friends to tune in as well. Mary's story is very inspiring in what happened in not only in her life, but in their entire parish and many parishes since then. There's a lot more to this story. But if you'd like to know more about Renewal Ministries, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can have this program as archived there, as well as Sister Ann Shields' program, Food for the Journey, our television programs, the choices we face. But until tomorrow, this is Peter Herbeck and Mary Hager saying, let's open our hearts to all the surprise that the Lord wants to bring into our lives so he can produce the change that he desires to produce for his glory. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.